Welcome back to the Fast Break, Season 2, Episode 16. And today we're going to be going over the vaccine controversy as it pertains to the NBA, most notably with Kyrie Irving and how that affects the Brooklyn Nets. So just a brief overview. Kyrie could play away games, not at Madison Square Garden or games in LA, as those are the two cities with vaccine, with the strictest vaccine the mandates currently. So the Nets said that Kyrie would not be a part-time participant. He would only play if he could participate in all 82 games. Also, the city of New York has said that practice facilities for the Brooklyn Nets and the New York Knicks are deemed private buildings so they can practice, but Barclays Center and Madison Square Garden are public buildings, so they cannot play games there. I think that's a brief overview. Kyrie is foregoing, I believe, all of his $42 million contract if he does not play, and potentially $185 more in future contract extensions. So foregoing a lot of money for his cause that he says he's done his own research on and something he believes in pretty heavily. We're going to try to just keep this to basketball. I think that's the best way to do it. So, Aaron's going to be your overall thoughts on, I guess, Kyrie in particular as it pertains to the vaccine controversy.
Yeah, so the league overall hasn't issued any mandates. There's no requirements for the teams, and the players' union has argued very heavily for that. That's the reason for it. Where the restrictions have come is within the states, and California and New York have the strictest policies where those players have to be vaccinated for them to be able to play. Initially, it was looking like that they could play away games for the most part if you were unvaccinated, but you couldn't really play home games. For a while, it was looking like you couldn't practice. And then if players of other teams were unvaccinated trying to play in New York or California, there were going to be some complications there. So it was up to the state governments pretty much for these regulations. But so there could have been other notable players vaccinated. There is about 90-95% of the league is vaccinated, and it's definitely a large majority. There's been a lot of players that are pro-vaccine that have been speaking out, and even players that were unvaccinated finally caved in, whether it was the money or the pressure. They just felt it was right for them, and there's not very many players left. Andrew Wiggins was probably the last star to give in. I know Bradley Beal was also kind of staying away from it for a while, but I'm guessing it was kind of the cost of their contract was not really worth holding out this cause. So pertaining to Kyrie Irving, I just think that he's kind of had a lot of mystery surrounding him in the past couple of years. I mean, when he was with the Cavs, there was none of this, but now he's just kind of been mysteriously taking games off and just saying things in public that don't really make sense. And he's all these cryptic messages, and he's just kind of changed the way that people think about him, and the way he's acted recently is different than I think most people thought about him earlier in his career. So now that this is kind of a big stance that he's taking against the league or against the vaccine, this definitely affects the Nets dramatically. It affects the perception of him as a player, and it affects the league as a whole, because this is more than just an NBA story. This is a news story, and his decision is influential to a lot of people who probably are looking up to celebrities like him or figures like him, that his decision may hold more weight than just for himself.
Yeah, I just to kind of further elaborate on one of your first points is this is not an NBA rule. Many people who defend Kyrie Irving, which oddly extends even to Texas Senator Ted Cruz, are mentioning how the NBA let Magic Johnson play with HIV but won't let Kyrie play without a vaccine. This is not an NBA rule. This is just based on state and even local governments. I believe it's the state of California for LA and even San Francisco, I believe. I guess Sacramento would qualify there too, but I think it's the city of New York that is City of New York that is not allowing unvaccinated individuals for Knicks and Nets games. but Kyrie is, as I mentioned, is forgoing a lot of money here, which I think is a surprising thing because Bradley Beal and Andrew Wiggins were the two most recent ones who were on big contracts. And I think Andrew Wiggins in particular mentioned his contract is why he got the vaccine. So because guys, which I didn't realize before this, NBA players get paid on game-to-game basis. So for every game they missed due to being unvaccinated, they wouldn't get that paycheck, which was interesting to me. So Kyrie, I guess, is just very adamant on just standing up for what he believes in, I guess. And I completely agree with, we didn't see as much of this back in his Cavs days, but since she's joined the Boston Celtics, many cryptic messages, odd things he said, whether it be the flat earth thing or missing games, missing 2-3 weeks for what he claimed to be his sister's birthday party. Or now this with the vaccine, just he's very cryptic and hard to understand everything he's trying to relay to his fans and followers.
He's also like pretty much refused to do interviews the last couple of years, which he's gotten plenty of fines for, and also refuses to change his ways on that. And like he might not even be able to play this year, which is crazy that for all for this vaccine, he could waste an entire year of pretty much his prime. He said that he's not going to retire over it earlier this week, a couple days ago, but the fact that that was even a consideration is pretty crazy to me. This could really affect the Nets, though, because although they have, even without him, two top five or top 10 players in the league, with Kevin Durant maybe being the best player in the entire league, losing him could have a dramatic shift in their odds or the way they play or kind of the team environment. I mean, him and KD were just the original two with the Nets, and it seemed like they had a friendship and bond that led to them choosing Brooklyn. Now that he's gone, who knows how much that changes. Last year, they were able to kind of have a rotating cast of characters within that team and lineups that they were able to switch out and have different people have good games and different people have a little more flexibility in the offense. And they had all these great role players that worked together, and it was kind of injuries that cost them in the end. But now it's not injuries, but it's one of their star players voluntarily sitting out. Who knows if they might try to look for a trade, if Kyrie's looking for a trade. I don't think it really makes sense to trade him. Like, this is an opportunity. I don't know if you can try to convince him to just get the vaccine, but it could definitely affect the Nets' odds, and they are the championship favorite. I think even without him, they'd probably be the favorite or top three at least, but it definitely could lead to some changes in what the coaches decide to do.
Yeah, even though Kyrie is probably the worst of those three, he's still a top 20 player. But there are other teams in the league that have two top 10, top 15 players on their roster. What really set the Nets apart was that they had three guys in that category. Because there have been teams that have had two really good players and a third 30 to 40 range in the NBA rankings, I guess how I would describe it. But when the Nets, when they got all three of those guys after acquiring James Harden last year, everybody thought, oh, they're unbeatable, because we've never seen a team, although there have been big threes, probably, let's go back to LeBron, Kyrie, Kevin Love. LeBron was number one, Kyrie was 17, 18, and Love was in the 40 range. But now when you had Durant, who is two, even considered to be one, Harden, who is 6'7", and Kyrie, who is 18, 19, there had never been a team that had been aligned like that before. But now take that apart, you've still got 2-6, but LeBron and Anthony Davis are 3-7. Steph Curry is probably 4. Klay Thompson, if he's coming back off of this, is 15. And they've got so many other role players. So there are so many teams now that can look at the Nets and say, okay, they still got two great players, but keep in mind they've got nothing outside of that. So I don't see any reason why the Bucks couldn't beat them again. The Suns look really good again. So there are so many teams now. I think the Nets are, like you mentioned, still a title favorite, but they're not as dominant without Kyrie Irving because they've got two stars and nothing else.
Yeah, I would agree with everything you said, except for you kind of slipping in there that Klay Thompson might be better than Kyrie Irving. I'd also disagree that they have no one behind them. I think in past years, or even a couple years ago, they really had no one else, but they've been able to acquire a lot of veterans and a lot of young players too. This last season, they still have Joe Harris, but they got Paul Millsap, Blake Griffin, Bruce Brown, Patty Mills, Nick Claxton. I think that they still have options, but all those guys are not even top 50 players, I think. Maybe not even top 75. Joe Harris might be approaching that range, but no one else really is close. And they don't really have any other scorers. So it would be a dramatic drop in their ability to just outscore teams, which was their plan last year. Like, they didn't have a defensive identity at all. They weren't running like crazy offensive sets like the Warriors were. That's one of the past kind of super teams. Their strategy was just keep scoring. Like, no possessions should go without a bucket, and they're scoring 140-50 points in the playoffs, which we'd never seen before, and it was all because of these three. And if you lose Kyrie, it's just a dramatic drop in what they're able to put out there. Do you think he is going to stay with the team? Like, do you think a trade is a viable option for the Nets or for Kyrie Irving? I personally don't really think that makes sense at this point. But if you get 10 games in, he's still not budging and he's refusing to play, I was going to say that might seem like a trade. At the same time, what team's going to want to take a player who's not going to play? It just is interesting there because the Nets now have a star on their hands and on their books that is not playing at all.
Yeah, the thing is, even if he goes somewhere where there are no vaccine mandates, I'm not convinced he would play for any other reason. I think he aside from the vaccine mandate, I think he enjoys being in Brooklyn because he's with two superstars. He's a guy that has a pretty strict set of ideals of where he wants to play, and he's forced his way out of two spots already. I'm not sure why he would go somewhere. I mean, I don't know who would want him, but say San Antonio or I guess Dallas could be a viable one to pair him with Luka, but I don't know why he'd want to play in Dallas. So just things like that. But you mentioned, I don't want to get into a huge like debate about this, but they did bring in some veterans on minimum contracts. But I think the team you can compare the Nets to the most is probably the Lakers at this moment. Both the two superstars and a bunch of role players. The Lakers are much younger, though, in their role players, whether it be Kendrick Nunn, Malik Monk. And I think we've seen in the past where, I guess I go back to the 2004 Los Angeles Lakers, where they had Kobe and Shaq both in their prime, and they got guys like Gary Payton and Karl Malone in there, who were just chasing a ring, age 38, who could still seem like they could provide value, but they didn't. And that team really had chemistry issues, because those older guys still think they have value, even though they say they're chasing a ring. That's why I don't think, even though they bring in guys like Blake Griffin, Paul Millsap, LaMarcus Aldridge, I don't think that works with the team at the Brooklyn Nets right now.
I'd agree. I'd say the Lakers actually have a pretty decent cast of bench guys, but both teams definitely have problems with their age and their lineup. Although Russell Westbrook, as much as we decided it probably wasn't the best option for them, he is another guy who can score points, and he is a great passer and rebounder, you know, triple doubles. He can do all that stuff. I think with Kyrie Irving, too, and trade-wise, we saw with the Celtics, he can't really be the best player on a team and see them go far in the playoffs. As good as he is, he can't really fit that role. He was actually pretty terrible with the Celtics in terms of what we expected and what is expected of him. And so how many teams are going to be willing to trade for a guy whose personality is up in the air and always questionable, and who his output is kind of inconsistent? I'm not sure how many teams would be willing to take on a trade like that. And the Nets are going to need a big package in return. However, if he just won't play under any circumstances, who knows? Maybe the city of New York will take down their mandate. Maybe the league will force players to. But I don't really know what's going to happen in that aspect.
Yeah, I think Kyrie could have gone down as potentially one of the greatest. He could have been the greatest number two option of all time. I think that probably goes to Scottie Pippen right now. But say Kyrie stays with LeBron, they probably would have won one more title in Cleveland. And then if it's you could if he didn't make all the controversy, you could have made the argument that Brooklyn wins two or three titles and he's the number two option ahead of James Harden, that he's got four titles as the greatest number two option of all time, the different guys who will go out there and give you 28 a night. But there's been so much failure in his career for things that were just non-basketball related, whether it's leadership or weird comments, evading the media, that's really given him a mixed reputation throughout the league. It's just interesting to follow because he could have gone down as the greatest number two option in NBA history.
I mean, he's also very influential. I'd say that like what he does is on a bigger scale than a lot of people, because it was not only what he did with LeBron. I don't know if it's because he has one of the biggest shoe lines. His shoe is very popular. I'd say I'm not sure how good of a gauge that is, but he's definitely like a bigger star than like Kawhi Leonard or even Giannis until recently, or Joel Embiid or Jokic, or like these guys aren't as big as personalities as Kyrie is. Like Kyrie Irving is the guy who has the crazy handles that everyone's watching his highlights. Everyone sees him hit these game winners. Anthony Davis, until he got into to the Lakers, I don't know, even though he was a top 10 player in the league, nobody's really watching him, but Kyrie Irving has always kind of had a spotlight on him. Just because of his play style and how incredible he was to watch and all that. And he has a lot of fans too, or at least he did. And now I don't know how this affects him. The past couple of years, it just seemed like he's really been on a decline on what his role is in the league and what his general perception of him is.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen Shams and Woj go on CNN and MSNBC to talk about Kyrie Irving in particular and the Brooklyn Nets, which we don't typically see. I mean, you're not seeing those guys go on and talk about Jonathan Isaac and why he's not getting the vaccine, because his reasons are just as far radical as Kyrie's reasons are. So it's interesting just to see that a guy who's had a very interesting roller coaster career, who is this influential, like you mentioned, it's just a very interesting story and why he is dominating the whole news cycle right now.
Yeah, I mean, he's not only dominating the NBA news cycle, this is a national story. And I'm not sure I've really seen anything about the other leagues having these issues, or maybe there's not these problems yet. I don't know. Maybe more sports or other sports or outdoors could play into it. I really haven't followed that very closely, but this is definitely the biggest NBA national story that there's been in a while, probably since the bubble. And I think it's really interesting to see where it goes and see if he does end up playing later this season.
Yep. Well, I think that's all we got about that. Some good news stories, I guess, that are pretty much non-basketball related with him and Ben Simmons, just from guys refusing to go with the norm and doing their own thing. But season starts, I think, tomorrow as of the time we will post this. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Sixers and the Nets. But overall, good story, and we look forward to a good season here. But that's all I got for today. So thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.